is a name for you ladies, but it isn't used in high society outside of a kennel.
Hello.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Klatch. It's nice to have you join us.
Whoop, whoop.
Hello. You are listening to The Klatch on Voice of Vashon, KVSH 101.9 on your radio dial. This is a place where we say what's on our minds, ask some big questions, and offer a bit of humor along the way.
Oh, yes.
I'm Linda Nygaard, and with me are...
Heidi Skrypek. Hello.
Hello.
And Susan McCabe.
Hello.
Hello.
Two things I want to talk about. First of all, and I know this wasn't on our schedule.
Uh-oh.
But I would like you to tell everybody about your other radio show. Tell people what your other shows are so they can listen to you.
Oh,
Susan, go first.
I get to be here all day Tuesday because my show Real Talk is at noon on Tuesdays. And it's just that. It's I say it's the show that where curiosity searches for truth, which allows me to talk about anything I want.
She goes deep. It's not as light as this show.
Not nearly,
sometimes.
No.
There are light moments. There's levity, and your wit definitely whips in there. So, Heidi here, and every Thursday afternoon from 1 to 3 live in the Storefront Studio, I do a reggae show. Sometimes it's really old roots reggae or rocksteady or Studio One, and sometimes it's electronic dance music infused with Jamaican sounds.
They're both really good shows.
And you have to dance in your car.
Listen.
Yes.
The other thing I wanted to remind our listeners of is that we have a Voice of Vashon app.
Yes.
So you don't have to go to the web and you don't have to listen live. You can just put the app on your phone, hit it, listen to us any old time you want to.
That's a great suggestion.
Anytime, any place.
Yes,
it's important.
Anytime, any place. So today I'd like to start out with a poem. You know, we usually do a check-in about COVID.
Yes.
Yeah.
And how we're doing through it. And I was thinking about that yesterday, and I thought, you know, I'm really nostalgic for the before times. I need the before times back.
Yes.
And then I started thinking, well, what was in the before times that I really have to have?
What was so great?
Started thinking about that. I know, it was so great. Everything was so great.
Or was it?
But this is a little bit off. It's a little abstract in that connection.
Okay.
But I think you'll get it. This is a poem called Remember. And it's by Joy Harjo,
awesome.
H-A-R-J-O. She is our incumbent poet laureate and the first Native American poet laureate in America. And she's an author, poet, educator. She's written 9 books.
She's way smarter than
wow,
me.
Wow, yeah, me too.
She's my favorite, one of my favorite poets. Anyway.
Cool.
Remember the sky that you were born under. Know each of the stars' stories. Remember the moon. Know who she is. Remember the sun's birth at dawn. That's the strongest point of time. Remember sundown and the giving away to night. Remember your birth, how your mother struggled to give you form and breath. You are evidence of her life and of her mother's life and hers and hers. Remember your father. He is your life also. Remember the earth whose skin you are, red earth, black earth, yellow earth, white earth, brown earth, we are earth. Remember the plants, trees, animal life, who all have their tribes, their families, their histories, too. Talk to them. Listen to them. They are alive poems. Remember the wind. Remember her voice. She knows the origin of this universe. Remember you are all people, and all people are you. Remember, you are this universe, and this universe is you. Remember, all is in motion, is growing, is you. Remember, language comes from this. Remember the dance languages that life is. Remember.
I like it.
Oh, man. Those are the things I think that we have reattached to.
Yes.
And remembered in our isolation.
Yes.
All those things, the moon, the sun, the dawn, the earth, the other critters.
Especially now.
Yeah.
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 I like it.
And so when I thought about the poem, I thought, you know, I don't have to be nostalgia when I live on Vashon.
Yeah,
I don't have
yeah.
to have nostalgia because all of this is right here.
It resonates.
It's true, it is.
And
yeah.
We really reconnected with nature during this last year, and it's been an important change for me.
I love that.
That
so
is
there you
wonderful.
Have it.
Yeah, a lot of people have reconnected with nature. I think we've been forced outside.
Yeah, we have. Well, I'm having a love affair with a crow, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I love your posts about this crow.
His name is Curtis, and
he
really knows me. He comes up and squawks and chats. He comes all by himself, and then I give him a treat, and then he calls all of his friends, and then they come, but he never lets them know I'm there until he's had his first treat.
He gets his first.
It's really cute.
In Hawaii, yeah, we had the minor birds in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You know, they're all corvids. COVID, meet corvid.
Corvid and COVID. Yeah.
So I'm confused.
How's your, what's going on in your COVID world now?
Second vax complete.
Good. Woo-hoo! Me too. Yes.
It was a Pfizer shot. I felt injection site soreness, a little tired the next day. That was it. Mm-hmm. I was fine, completely fine.
Good.
So don't believe the hype that everyone's going to go down on that second shot. It's not, it's just so individual. Yeah, baby. That's right. I bow. I'm taking a bow. Go get your vaccines, people. If you're eligible for, I almost swore there. Goodness sake, go get it.
Yes.
check those words that are down there you're not supposed to say.
And how about you, Susan?
Yeah. I am 2 weeks out from my second vaccination, so I had a party with friends on Sunday night, and we hugged each other because we were all clean, clear, whatever.
Rub all up on each other. Come on and get in there.
It was so good.
Awesome.
So
actually,
good.
I have to tell you, I'm kind of glad that we don't have to hug everybody now.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You know, I mean, sometimes there are over-huggers in this world.
It's going to happen to all of us
And I'm probably one of them, really. I mean, I love to hug.
Yay.
But I'm kind of getting off on this elbow thing, too.
No, give me some elbow.
Give me some elbow. Yeah, kind of fun.
Right. Well, we are an island that hugs more than it shakes hands.
Oh, definitely.
Well, that's true.
So it is nice to respect people's desire to not be hugged.
I guess that's why I fit here.
Yay.
I'm not touching you.
Don't touch me. Not right now.
We're on our way, though.
So I found out some interesting tidbits through this last couple of weeks, and I thought you might like to know something.
Drop those little tidbits.
So guess what?
Tell me.
An analysis based on the National Survey of Drug Use and Health found that marijuana use in people over 65 jumped 80% in 2020.
Hey, chiba, y'all.
You know, it was a serious article, but it was about why.
Yeah.
And they were talking about how so many seniors now want to do away with opioids, and their anxiety is worse, and they can't sleep at night. And so, you know, they're going to the pot stores. And there's a pot store in Denver. I can't remember the name of it, but they have senior Sundays.
Okay.
No kidding.
They do. And the you know, the, what are they called? What are the pot guys called?
Bud tenders.
Bud tenders. And they educate the seniors on what CBD is, what's THC, how
that's
does this work,
so,
what do I need?
Sativa versus what's the other one?
Indica.
It's the Chiba Hut in Denver, Colorado. I'm looking at it because my friend shops there.
Oh, good.
And they have a 25% senior discount.
Thank you. Yeah.
All right. Are you listening, Euphorium?
Yeah. Euphorium gives 20% discount.
Oh, sweet.
For seniors?
Nice.
I don't know if it's 20%.
Are you spreading rumors?
They give a nice discount.
She That's can't really remember. Good.
Yeah. I didn't. I'm telling you what my friend told me.
I have a friend.
Okay. So my dad, you guys, stopped drinking last year in February, but he's been stuck at home and he embraced the edibles.
Oh, that's all right.
And I
he's in good company, I guess.
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay. So on to the next little subject, which I just loved. I don't know if you're familiar with Korean dramas on television or not.
They're pretty awesome.
But it's kind of a thing now. And I sort of was aware of it 3 or 4 years ago, and now it's just really coming. And South Korea, this is a little tidbit I found in the newspaper. South Korea has the most Subway sandwich shops than anyone in Asia.
Whoa.
They have 700 and some. And it's illegal to advertise in Korea.
Like
it's
television.
South Korea. You
okay.
can't do any kind of advertising on television.
Oh my goodness.
Nothing?
So
really?
What they do is Subway is product placement.
Aha.
And they're talking about the dramas that the Subway sandwiches show up in. And one of them, a guy was going to commit suicide, and the lady came up to him and gave him a Subway sandwich, and it was all better. It was just all better.
Foot long for the win, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. And then in October, the company released its own mini drama on YouTube called Some Way.
Oh,
oh my God.
About a young woman who develops a crush on a Subway employee and regularly eats at his location to win his affection.
Oh my goodness.
And then, you know, the menu is a little bit different. They have bulgogi sandwiches and
yummy.
That, you know, different.
I would eat at Subway if they served.
Oh, me too. Me
Bring
too.
It. What is bulgogi?
It's just this minced beef and it's seasoned.
It's spicy. It's
oh, really?
And delicious
Korean
and
spicy?
Deep flavor.
Yeah.
It's really, really good.
Yes.
The other thing I wanted to say about that is they also have Subway placed with the Grim Reaper. The Grim Reaper is eating a Subway in the Korea drama.
Oh,
so are these Korean dramas on Netflix or somewhere like that?
Or is it cable?
Maybe, I don't. It's cable. There's Korean cable.
Oh, yeah.
I should do some more investigating because I don't know. But
that's cool.
I know. I just thought it was really great. And the next little story I have to say is, this is regarding a woman who flew with her little 2-year-old son on an airplane. And a flight attendant afterwards found Buzz Lightyear. Do you know Buzz Lightyear?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
My son Zach used to wear the
Toy Story.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he was sitting in the seat all by himself, and she knew somebody had forgotten him. So she looked, and on the bottom of his shoe was written Hagen, just like Buzz Lightyear does. So she went to find out who it was. She went to the log and found the people. And then there was a dock worker. She had it on her desk. The dock worker walked by her desk and said, "What's Buzz Lightyear doing here?" And she said, "Oh, blah, blah, blah." And she told him the story.
Cool.
And he said, "Do you mind if I send it back?" And she said, "No." So she said the little boy was very, very upset.
After
the flight attendant called the mom said, "Oh, he'll be so glad. He's been crying." And she said, "I just told him that Buzz Lightyear went on a mission and he'll be home soon," thinking she was going to get a new one, right?
Clever.
Well, so the guy, the airline employee, took Buzz Lightyear and went around the airport and took photographs of him in front of planes and in front of bags and in front of people
on his
carousel
mission.
And he was on his mission.
Oh, that is so cool.
And then he designed a box that was full of stars and planets and rocket ships and
mailed
it back to him. And I just thought, oh, there are good people in this world.
What a, you know, and the creativity just explodes.
Yeah.
Oh, and then he added a letter. The letter says, "To Commander Hagen, I'm very excited to return to you upon completing my mission. I was able to explore the airport and spaceport in Little Rock, Arkansas while I was away, and I have included photos of my adventure. To infinity and beyond, your buddy Buzz Lightyear."
Stop it. I want to see the...
Send that to Tom Hanks.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
I know.
That would be a good sequel.
It would. It would.
Okay, genius. Then the only other thing I have is that there were some mysterious baked potatoes that landed on the lawn of the library just outside of Boston, Massachusetts. And every once in a while, there'd be baked potatoes on the lawn of the library. And nobody can figure out where they're coming from. Stephen Colbert said, "It's the taters of chaos."
I love it. Is it still a mystery or did they ID it?
It's the potatoes aren't appearing anymore and nobody knows where they came from in the first place. So they're waiting for their reappearance.
Speaking of reappearing food.
Yeah.
Ooh.
You know, Linda Nygaard, former host of Stirring the Pot.
Yeah.
You are an outstanding cook and you continue to post these delicious images on Facebook of the things that you are cooking, but none of them seem to get here.
No.
Oh.
I think it should be a requirement for you to enter the studio with whatever delicious, wonderful thing you have cooked today.
Well, I won't cook on Tuesday then.
Like,
I'll bring you something next time.
Sweet potato hash.
Oh my God, I saw that this morning.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, I want to cook that. And then mulberry pie.
Uh-huh, mulberry galette.
Mulberry galette.
Oh my God, I saw that one too.
Yeah.
That was laminated with all that sugar crystals baked in.
Oh my God, it looked good.
When it's your birthday, I'll bake you a cake.
Okay.
Oh no, do we have to wait that long?
2 days after Christmas? What? Okay.
You know what? I just remembered my birthday's next two weeks.
Right.
A week from today.
Oh.
Is my next birthday.
A week from today.
Wink, nod, wink, wink.
March 23rd.
Yeah.
That's today. 1775.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Patrick Henry proclaims, "Give me liberty or give me death."
Oh. Yeah, and there he went.
Yeah. So that's it.
I thought you were going to say cake. Give me cake.
Give me cake. Give me cake.
We have a lot to unpack here.
We really do. We have a lot to go on.
We have promised that today is the...
Dun, dun, dun!
Boob show!
The boob show.
Yes.
You know, I just would like to say that there won't be any X-rated. It's not a nasty show.
No.
But if you're uncomfortable about talking about breasts and, you know, physical attributes of women,
yes,
then maybe this isn't your show.
True.
But or for little kids. I don't know. But we're not going to be X-rated.
It's not going to get graphic.
No.
It's pretty clinical.
No. Mm-hmm. No.
There's some grossness, but that's my part. So yeah. If you hear me talk, tune out. Just kidding.
You're so gross.
Yeah.
So
what are we doing on the boob front? Hee hee.
Well, statistically speaking, you know, we could get the bad news out of the way.
Sure.
In 2021, an estimated 281,550 new cases of invasive breast cancer.
Oh gosh.
Will be diagnosed.
Say that again.
281,550
in the world or in
Or here.
U.S.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Oh, and that's of invasive. And there are 50,000 new cases of non-invasive.
Wow.
And
invasive breast cancer?
There's two different kinds of breast cancer. One is invasive and one is in situ, they call it, where it's still in your milk glands.
Oh.
But if it's invasive, it's gone outside.
To the lymph nodes and so forth. I consider both of those pretty invasive myself.
Well, they are, but it means it didn't invade the tissue. It's just in the duct.
Okay.
I see. Okay. Okay.
But it sounds like way more statistically are invasive. Wow.
Yeah.
Way more. Six times almost.
Yeah. And then the other one that really hurts is 43,600 women in the U.S. are expected to die in 2021 from breast cancer.
And I thought we had
50,000 women.
So many treatments, so many advances
treatment. We do. It just,
why
it
isn't
just
it working?
Shows how pervasive breast cancer is. And you know, every woman is different. Every woman needs a different kind of key. There's no sort of panacea treatment for it.
Wow.
And these days, women are given choices of, well, we can do this or we can do that. And so women are making more informed choices about their treatment. But it still doesn't work all the time.
Mm. Get your mammograms.
Get your mammograms.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because it's bad. Let's see. Oh, a woman's risk of breast cancer doubles if she has a first degree relative, like a mother, sister, daughter.
Mm-hmm. Who has had it.
Who's had it. Yeah.
Okay, wow.
So, maybe I'll just segue right into.
Sure. What you got on deck?
Well, I have a little experience with breast cancer.
Okay, I want to hear it.
Okay. So, I had breast cancer in 2008. And so what? That's 13 years. And here I am. Hello.
Okay.
Hooray.
Yeah. And, you know, it was, it was very difficult. And I had breast cancer in one breast, but elected to have both of them taken off because the cancer I had liked to travel. And I thought, I don't want to wonder.
Yeah.
You know, if I have one boob.
Right.
Is it going to get it? So I elected to do that, but and then I had chemo for a year, and it was pretty hard.
I would like you to back up. I would like you to back the hell up and tell me, at what point did you even have a clue that you might have something going on?
Question. Oh, okay.
Take me back. Okay. Where were you?
Okay.
How old were you?
I had a 4th of July barbecue. I had 30 friends over, and I did all the cooking and all the everything. It was fabulous. We just had a ball.
Awesome.
But I was exhausted, and I had company spending the night with me. And so I went in my bedroom, I was changing my clothes, putting my pajamas on, and just kind of was rubbing my collarbone a little bit because I was tired. Mm. And there was a little lump right under my collarbone.
Super high.
It is high.
There ain't no boob region there, really.
No, but it's tissue.
Sure.
It's breast tissue.
Absolutely.
So I thought, oh, God, what's that? And I thought, well, I'm going to bed. So I went to bed, and the next day it was just bugging me, and I thought I better call. So I did.
Wow.
And I went in, and the day I saw the doctor, she sent me to the biopsy.
boom, boom.
Boom, boom.
Which is not typical thing. Yeah.
She sent me, and so I went, and the biopsy came back positive, and then, then what happened? Oh, so that was on July 8th.
Okay, this is fast.
Really fast.
Where were you when you learned that the biopsy was positive, and how did you react?
I was sitting on my couch with my phone.
By yourself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I lived alone, and I was by mm-hmm. myself. I just sat there, and I just thought, oh, okay, well, I guess my path is pretty defined here.
Here we go.
So I consulted with two different surgeons. I found a marvelous surgeon in Portland.
Oh, wow.
She's world renowned, and I love her. And so she saved my life, you know.
Okay.
So then what?
So biopsy to making the decision to do both mastectomy, both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I had surgery on August 1st.
This is all within a month.
Mm-hmm.
That is really, really fast.
Yeah.
Yeah,
really
it was. Fast. And it was a tough surgery. It was real hard. And so I healed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
It was terrible. And I personally know three women right now who are going through breast cancer treatment. No mastectomies, mm-hmm. but they're all going through it right now. So.
And when was yours? 2008?
2008. Yeah, 13 years ago.
So, yeah, is it possible that treatment has advanced since
yes,
then, so
I'm
that
sure
these women don't have to have mastectomies necessarily?
So. Yeah, that could be. The healing part of the surgery was really awful. I mean, it's gross and it's hard. But after that comes, you know, so now you're bald, you don't have any hair.
Yeah.
I kind of like that part. I really kind of did.
You?
I just wore great big earrings and big red lips and turbans, and it was fun.
And
I mean, you know, fun.
Were your kids super supportive?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Were my kids. My boys came. Yeah, they were there. My boys and their girls, and they took really good care of me. You know, we didn't live in the same place, so one son from California came up for a week, and then another one, my one from Seattle came over. So
wow.
It was really good. And then after, you know, after chemo, when I thought, okay, now I can be normal.
Yeah.
Well, you don't ever get normal again, I don't think.
You're changed.
You're changed. You're
dramatically
physically changed.
Changed.
And
yeah.
there's a thing that happens with it. But I think the point that I wanted to make, since we're talking about boobs today,
yeah.
is I had great boobs.
Oh, let's bring it back.
But I elected not to do surgery because I couldn't face any more surgeries.
Oh, for reconstruction.
Know? And reconstruction isn't just one surgery. It's like, it can be like six different surgeries.
Ooh,
you
know? Wow.
So anyway, I didn't want to do that.
That would be a tough choice.
But I want to wind this up. So anyway, the thing I want to say is, so in healing and going to try on clothes, there's nothing that fits a woman who doesn't have boobs.
It all has
nothing.
Starts.
And so there's, you know, think of most tops now are cleavage.
Mm-hmm.
There's just nothing. And so I got prosthetics,
uh-huh.
which are these silicone boobs, and they fit in a specially made bra that you put on. And so then it all looks really natural and you feel fine, but they're heavy and they're hot and they're disgusting. So the day that I hated them, and I wore them for years, I wore them for about five or six years. What?
No, she hated them.
Oh, she said you painted them.
Oh, that would have been fun.
Oh, that would have been fun. Nice.
No, so I decided, I guess about 5 or 6 years after I'd been wearing them, I had the idea that, you know, I'm only doing this for other people.
Mm.
I'm doing this so that nobody else feels uncomfortable wondering why this woman, who's tall, has no boobs and a Buddha belly. Well, you know, Buddha belly is real common in women who have mastectomies because tissue slips and things move down. And
that is fascinating to me.
Is too, and I think that's a little known fact.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need the stuff that people don't tell you.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
So, you know, I didn't do any counseling through it. I just kind of head down, go through it.
You really did.
Yeah, I really did. I lived alone, and I just kind of did what I did.
Other than the two kids staggering their visits to hang out with you in the immediate, it sounds like you really toughed it out, kind of solo. And you
but I did have some friends who came by and did, you know, bring some food or something like that. But I was pretty stubborn. I don't know what happened to me. I just kind of went inside.
Yeah.
And I didn't want anybody near me. It's sort of like a wounded animal does.
You know? Okay. Well, you know what?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like you just want to hide and be away.
Yeah.
So I think there was a real primal instinct in that.
And it was before social media.
Wait. Well, yeah.
Not that you would advertise
who
that.
Who would do that? Yeah.
Right. Well, Caring Bridge was a thing at the time.
Okay. Ah. Yeah.
And
yeah,
somebody
yeah.
wanted to do that for me. And I said, no.
Yep.
You know,
yeah, I think that
to
would
me,
be.
Well, that was 13 years ago. And that and it was pretty private.
That's a private,
it's a
yeah.
private kind of thing.
You know, there are women who fashion rituals around the loss of breasts and around the loss of their female organs through hysterectomy or something, and that those rituals, particularly done with other women, can help the healing and the acceptance process, can help. And of course, there are the women who tattoo the places
they're
where they're gorgeous,
gorgeous.
Where their breasts used to be.
Yeah.
But those breasts have been, as we're going to talk about, such a defining feature of womanhood.
Of womanhood.
That right, when you lose them, it's hard, I would think, to continue feeling like a woman.
Mm-hmm. It is, sometimes. I mean, it didn't destroy my femininity, I don't think.
Oh, no, listen to your voice. You have a voice that makes boners happen on command. there's
oh my god.
Boners on command with Linda's voice. We're gonna take a quick break just for our supporters.
Thank you.
Our supporters.
Support for Voice of Vashon is provided by Osole Mio de Mario, a pizza house, an authentic New York style slice joint in the heart of Vashon, located on Vashon Highway, open 7 days a week at 12 p.m.
VOV support is provided by Trigg Insurance Agency, the island's largest independent insurance agency offering all lines of personal and commercial coverage, bonds, group life and medical, even yacht insurance, since 1979. With multi-state licensing, Trigg can insure businesses anywhere in the world. Find them at TriggInsurance.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
Here we are again. Susan, you have some information on history.
I do. The history
really
of the breasts. And I'm going to channel my librarian to
voice?
Read this. My librarian voice,
okay,
yes.
Good.
The breasts have played an important role in defining the special functions of the female body and have
it.
Enormous cultural significance as well.
Yes.
Both maternal and sexual in appearance, they appear at times in startling forms to modern viewers of medieval and Renaissance texts, such as the images of Christ as a mother giving nourishment to the faithful from the wounds in his chest. That is disgusting.
I can't understand you.
Well, no.
You can't understand what
I can
saying.
Understand you. I can understand you.
Okay. That's an image that medieval and Renaissance Christians would have understood in physiological as well as religious terms, since they strongly believed that milk was a kind of purified blood.
Okay.
You know, all this stuff has gone around breasts.
That is cray cray.
Well, there's some talk here about male breasts being basically useless. Casper Hoffman compared the male breast to women's testes. Who knew we had testes?
Whoa.
I don't.
Well, okay. I don't anymore.
Virtually inert organs, male breasts. Female breasts, however. Medical practitioners felt they could see signs of the body's activity and health in the female breasts.
Okay.
Nipples are red after copulation.
Yes.
And that is their natural color.
Okay. I thought it was lips match the nips. That's what I always
there
heard.
You go. I think that's
Linda's giving me the stinkiest eye right now.
Don't you be telling tales.
I'm sorry. go on.
Okay, but nursing nipples, when they give suck, are blue, and they grow black when they are old.
That's really depressing.
They're not black.
They're not black.
Mine aren't black, and I'm nursed for a long time.
Yeah. Discussing why mothers should not breastfeed after intercourse, the anonymous popular treatise, The Problems of Aristotle, attributed to Aristotle, observed, because in time of carnal copulation, the subtlest and best part of the milk goeth to the vessels of the seed and to the womb, and the worst remains in the paps, which doth hurt the child. I have no idea what that means.
I don't know what that means.
So basically, intercourse brought the seed down to the womb, whereas pregnancy transferred it upward into the breasts.
Oh.
So
okay.
The seed, but it's the seed that matters.
It is.
Of course. Yeah, of course.
Of course.
So breastfeeding was a subject in literature, and then it was viewed as a gland by John Moyer. And the idea of the gland was at least as gallon. I don't know what that means, but it took on new meaning in an era newly obsessed with the fluids of the body in the middle of the 17th century. Bringing us up to today.
Dun, dun, well, dun.
So I read an article about boobs.
Okay.
And why are boob cuddles such a universal phenomenon?
C-U-T-T-E. Or
C-U-D-D.
Oh, cuddles.
Boob cuddles.
Okay.
Why does it feel so good?
Oh.
And so basically what the scientist is saying is that humans are drawn to body warmth and boobs are warm.
Yes.
And they, playing with them, produces oxytocin.
Yes.
In
the player or the playee?
Well, it depends on the woman. It depends on the woman.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on the, well.
I think it's supposed to be the woman that feels that.
Yeah.
But.
Well, the men must.
Something happens chemically.
Something happens. I know something happens.
It's up around the boob area.
But anyway, a key element in the rhetoric about boobs is, in feminist words, is that, you know, boobs aren't sex.
No.
They're mother's milk, etc. And one woman said, sometimes it's just hilarious to watch men be so fascinated by boobs during sex. Like, it's just a bag of fat you're fondling.
Well, and that kind of speaks to what happened in the 70s when we burned our bras.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, I never went back, but I went through a professional career of men who rarely looked in my face.
Right. Yeah.
You go, girl.
I had that too. Do you know who started the burn the bra? Who did that? Why do I think it's something in Chicago?
I thought that was a part of the feminist movement. Oh.
Well, yeah, but there has to be
one person who burned the first bra?
Like, who burned
the first bra? It's not Gloria Steinem, but it was someone.
It was someone
in that group.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. And you know what? It's documented, and I actually remember somebody laying claim to being
the first
bra burner.
Well,
yeah.
Then it's out there.
Totally.
And the other point that this article made is that the greatest sexual organ is the mind. And so,
I love
it. Forget about the boobs. It's the mind that's really turned on.
Yeah.
You know, so.
But I don't know if you found anything in your research, but I couldn't find anything that told me when we went from mother's milk to boobs being all about sex. All about sexuality, cleavage and all
it's
that.
It's not
stuff.
That way in other countries.
That's true. It's only here or Western.
Well, European. Oh,
yeah.
You know, but.
And honestly, it could have been a ploy from the formula companies that wanted to sell infant formula and draw attention away from breastfeeding. And suddenly, what are we going to, what about those boobs? Oh, well, let's make them fashion objects and do the itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. But, you know, like in Europe, women go topless on beaches all the time.
Yes.
It's not a big deal.
Yes.
And you look at, you know, different countries in Africa or in Asia or places where women are, they just wear their breasts out.
That's totally true.
And I don't know. I've never understood it, really.
We have a local poet laureate.
Yes, we do. Her name is?
Anne Spires.
Yeah, Anne wrote something we thought you'd like to listen to.
Do you have an intro about Anne?
Anne is a poet laureate on Vashon as well.
She was the original poet laureate on Vashon.
And she now is, she stewards the Poetry Post.
Yeah.
That's in Village Green.
Yes, that's cool.
And what else? I don't know much else, I guess.
All right, well, here's
she was
Anne.
Our first poet laureate.
That's pretty cool.
Okay, let's listen to Anne read from something she wrote.
It's on topic.
This is Anne Spires. I'm reading an excerpt from my unpublished novel, Carrying the Cross. Our heroine time trips back to her preteen years on a Greyhound bus. Its driver, Jude, demands a gift from the Seattle Art Museum as her return ticket back to adulthood. She considers stealing a Dutch 1627 painting called Shepherdess, Adorned with Flowers. The adjacent gallery was a good one. The canvases were thick with oil. One painting contained two Dutch damsels. In the foreground, one woman gazed at the viewer. her smile lifting her round pink cheeks. She had buff blonde hair and wore a bodice of silver silk. In the background, bending over the first woman, the other woman stuck flowers into her companion's hair. The women, flowers, and sky radiated pleasure, but what shone most was each woman's double delight, front center. The women's maximum boobies sat like rotundas above their bodices' upper rims, their teats tucked strategically out of view. "Would you like this painting? He might be a boob man," she guessed. These two women, grinning and boldly gazing at the viewer, knew the tease of being immodest. Maggie marveled that the breasts stayed in the bodices. What kept them hooked in were the nipples themselves. The two knobs kept the bosoms from popping forth. Popping, she thought, was not the right word. These breasts, if released, would move largely, fully out of the tight bodices. Maggie, small-breasted back then and now as an adult, was not envious of the bearer of these oversized globes harnessed precariously. But the cha-chas attracted her. They were indecent in their aspect. Her body had never behaved indecently. Because she was not over-endowed, her only indecent move would be to moon the world. Public indecency attracted her adult self as a performance art she could practice. Maggie imagined grabbing the painting and running, choosing an escape not haunted by museum staff. The Dutch women, clinging to the frame, would ride high above her head, jostled until their pink piglets flopped forward out of the thick paint, bobbing into the third dimension, a cartoon come alive. Maggie, at any age, would die of embarrassment. This was not a gift for Jude.
Oh, that was great.
Thank you, Anne.
That was wonderful.
Rock.
That was great. Thank you.
I think heavy metal took a tip from your poetry and just took it to the next level because, like, what you describe, Anne, is so very much what Heavy Metal magazine started to do with their sort of exaggerated heaving bazoombas, the knobs of power that could hold a bodice or not. That was amazing. Thank you so much.
That was really good. Loved it. Thank you.
That brought to mind all the different names for boobs.
Yeah.
She said cha-chas.
She said cha-chas. You just said bazoombas.
Bazoombas.
Bazoombas. Bazoongas? No, is that guys?
I don't know.
Boobies.
Heck yeah.
Knockers.
Yeah.
Jugs.
Rack.
Rack.
Oh, definitely. Headlights.
Headlights.
Yep.
The girls.
Oh, always. Yes.
Oh, the girls was fine.
Anne came up with like 10 in her poem. Yeah, that was amazing.
She did. Yeah, she did.
Okay. I hadn't thought about the double something. That was amazing.
Well, Heidi, I think you have a story to tell us.
I do.
We talked about a little bit.
It was funny because I was like, oh, I don't want to remember. I don't want to forget to mention. And I have it in two spots where I wrote a list. So we're going to consolidate and make it one.
Okay.
I am going to tell you about my own experience. And first, we are going to listen to our supporters again.
VOV programming support comes from Vashon Thriftway, locally owned and operated since 1965 and offering everything from organic zucchini to a hot latte or garden boots. Now supporting youth sports broadcasts on KVSH, you'll find them on the web at VashonThriftway.com. VOV programming is made possible with support from Frog Song Gardens by Urban Feast, Vashon's spectacular garden wedding venue and caterer. Find them on the web under the Venues tab at urbanfeast.com.
Boom. Okay, so I totally relate to Anne's poem. I was a breastfeeding mother of two boys, and I breastfed each one up until, well, about a year and a half each. And I had these cute little teeny tiny but very perky cupcake breasts, and I loved them. And then I started to breastfeed. They got enormous. Like,
yes.
I didn't know they were capable of filling up that big. I was like wearing like these big maternity breastfeeding bras that they like have these little flaps that you just flip down the front to just administer child to breast immediately. And I got through that, and I'm so glad I did that for my children. Mm-hmm. I think I gave them a leg up with their immunity. I fully believe in breastfeeding, and despite the children like gnawing and pulling the nipple, flexing back with the stretched nipple, I'm just like, I love you, I love you, I love you, exactly. But at the end of it, I don't care what anybody says. After you have kids, four things change. Your feet get a little bigger, right?
Yes.
My hair that was stick straight started to get waves and curly after having my period regulated. After like never having a regular period, suddenly I was just the on-time 28-day period machine. And then boobs. Like my boobs totally changed. And I don't care what anybody says. They don't necessarily sag, but I'm telling you, things got stretched out and things were not looking right. They just didn't look right to me. And I liked having my little boobs. So fast forward a couple years later, my kids are in elementary school. I moved to Seattle and one of my PR clients happens to be a plastic surgeon.
How perfect is that?
And I was like, oh, I'm kind of curious, like, I wonder what I could do about these sad little things that I've got hanging. Mm. And she told me that 50% of her boob surgery clients were actually not enhancements or augmentation to get bigger, but actual reductions.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
50%, mm-hmm. you guys. And we actually had somebody write in before the show just say to be sure to mention that. It's absolutely true. It's a burden for some.
Yeah, it is.
And in my case, I wanted more. So I asked her, like, hey, I'm kind of curious about this and I might maybe do a little bit for myself. So she said, come to my office and we'll go through the motions. So she had a hat box. She was a tailor on her side gig. Like she just loved to make beautiful clothes and curtains. So her dressing room was like this little feminine hiatus, little respite spot with these beautiful valances and curtains. And she sends me into this little corner where she's got this dressing room with these curtains and the hat box. She lifts the lid and it's all manner of little chicken cutlet implants. Mm-hmm. So she grabs, they're just like floppy.
They do look like chicken cutlets.
Chicken cutlet thingies. And so she hands me a pair and she says, okay, go in there. And she gives me a sports bra. And I try on the first pair and I whip open the curtains and they're just like pow, pow, torpedoes, like these figment of the 50s. There's no way.
Ew,
and
ew.
I just looked at her and she goes, those are 350 cc's, which would be like a cup and a half of boobage stuffed into the sports bra. And I was just like, you know, I'm not trying to be Pamela Anderson. So we scale down. I open the curtains again and I shake my head again. I'm like, no, these are too big. So we do it again. She scales it down. They're still too big. I said, this is just too much. Like, I just want my little cupcake boobies back. So she reaches it down to the bottom and she hands me two. And she kind of looks at me like, these are 175 cc's. This is as small as people will ever go. And I stuck them in and I said, oh, these are my perfect size. These are my old cupcake. So that equals like 5.5 ounces. Mm-hmm. It's literally like a little teacup sized booby. So put two teacups against your chest. And that's what I did. And I did it. And my decision completely upended my then husband. He was absolutely insane about me not doing it. He was completely against it. And, you know, aside from just a woman making that decision,
yeah,
that noise was totally unexpected and extremely stressful. And, you know, it's like, I'm not paying for any of that. No worries. I have my own money. I always have. You know, I don't think you should do it. It's unnatural. And you're cutting into yourself. That's my decision. It's what I want. I promise you, it's going to be subtle. You're not going to know. You will not know. I'm going to know. Well, then I come home from work one day at my PR thing from Seattle. And he is absolutely insane. His parents are visiting from Spokane. And they confront me at the dinner table. We don't think you should do it. And I'm just looked over at my ex, now ex. And I was so mad that he even mentioned it to them. I brought it in. Ex said, I'm not driving you to the appointment. I'm not going to drive you to or from. Fine. I didn't know anybody here. So I brought my mom up from San Diego just to take me to the procedure because he was so against it. He would have nothing to do with it. To watch the kids and all of that, he was absolutely absolved himself of it. Of course, after the surgery and everything calmed down. He saw, like, hello, you're just a subtle bee. And he, of course, loved them and wanted to touch them, as you said, feel the warmth of the bazoombas or whatever. Uh-huh. But anyway, I just think it's important that, you know, you do you. And if it feels right not to put stuff back in, if you want to go down, if you want to bring it, whatever, just be happy. And, you know, my goal was not to draw attention from other people. I just wanted to feel that heft again.
Well, you know, I don't understand why there's so much stigma about augmentation, because, yes. I mean, there's, think about people's teeth. People's teeth are capped.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. The hair dye. I mean,
bleached. Anything, yeah. You know? All of it.
It's just, it's a matter of personal preference and comfort, I think.
So you think your ex's concern was that you were trying to get attention from other men?
That definitely came out. And in a really crass way. Yeah, that definitely came out. And that's so, I mean, but, you know, in him saying that, it totally repulsed me from him.
Sure.
It did. It
Listen
was
to
like,
that, man.
I was like,
would, for sure.
Yeah, you want to have sex? What? You know?
Yeah, and this is an ownership issue.
It is.
Yeah.
But it was so ironic that right afterward, it was like everything was fine and, oh, you're hot and whatever. But yeah, the run-up was so horrible from that side, and I did not see that coming. And so any ladies out there thinking about doing it, I mean, just do it and know that it's not you. You can do whatever you want and don't be influenced by that. And especially if you're pocketing it, it's your money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got some curious girl questions.
Go.
Like, when you did that, did it change the sensation?
No. Honestly, breastfeeding changes the sensation.
Yeah, breastfeeding can.
Things get kind of leathery.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I remember having 42-inch torpedo heads when I was breastfeeding. Yes.
Pow, pow.
And they hurt.
Yeah, they really
did. They were
big
and they were sore. Okay.
Yeah.
That was my first girl question.
Okay.
Was the procedure painful?
It hurt really badly on the drive out of the, I mean, I remember coming out of anesthesia and just, they were, it hurt a lot. Like, imagine getting stung by 100 bees in your boobs is about what it felt like at that moment. Everything, any little turn of the corner in the car going home, going to the ferry, it was just like, drive really slow, mom.
Was it outpatient surgery?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Boom, boom.
It's amazing to me what they do in the office these days.
Yeah. So that was it. And you know, just a little ice and some sports bras and we were rocking. We were good. So that's...
Well, you know, and I'm trying, you know, I keep going back to, how did we get to the point where boobs are sexual?
Yeah.
Sexuality.
We should talk
all
about that.
Well, I found these 9 pages of biblical references.
9 pages.
Of biblical references.
No wonder the ex was so uptight.
Yeah.
Yeah, really. Yeah, because who wrote the Bible?
Was it Satan? Just kidding.
Satan? We just lost half our...
We're just kidding.
We just lost all the Christians in
Jesus
the audience.
Christ is my Lord and Savior, for real.
Stop it.
Sorry.
Okay, so I guess you can say anything you want. You're on his team.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know if this is Old Testament. I think it is. Matthew 5:28. This I think, tells us a little bit about the origins. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Didn't Jimmy Carter say that too?
Did that.
Yes. But it gets to that. Women are in charge of men's sexual behavior. Here's another one. I do not permit a woman, to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. Ugh. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor.
That would have changed things.
Yeah, and all of these, there's very little in the Bible about milk and mothers and maternity. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. Let her breasts fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love. And by the way, she has a name. That you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast, that you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious abundance. That's not about breastfeeding, guys.
Well, and then read that one about the...
Oh, here's a curse.
The curse one. I like that one.
Give them, O Lord, what will you give? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breasts. Icky, icky.
God, icky, icky.
Ugly, yeah, right. But yeah, so...
Well, that's kind of folklore. We were kind of wondering about folklore.
I have some too. Okay. When you're ready, but keep going.
Here's one more about the sexuality. But because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. Oh, yeah, right. For a little while.
Yeah, for a little while. Well, we can file that away with folklore as well, right? Yeah,
absolutely. Okay, yeah. I would consider it to be so.
I just have one little folklore thing.
Do it.
Denmark. King Volmar hunting the last troll women. You know, trolls in Scandinavian mythology, there are just trolls everywhere. And there's also the
under bridges.
Yeah, and everywhere else. Oh. And there are, there's the forest woman. And she's, you know, she's mean and she's bad and she kidnaps children and eats them and that kind of thing. But anyway, King Volmar was out hunting the trolls in the realm and encountered the ugly troll woman who is always characterized as having long, saggy breasts. Always. I mean, she's so terrible. And the forest spirit has long breasts. A common motif in some legends is that she could throw her breast over her shoulders, something she did when she was running from something, like the leader of the wild hunt. So if you're running, you got to throw your boob over your shoulder.
Let me just heave this bacon out there.
I have a story about that. My dear departed grandmother, I loved her very much, had a lateral mastectomy.
Yeah.
And so rather than spend money on prosthetics, I watched her put her bra on one day and she kind of flipped the remaining breast over to one side and caught it with the bra.
Oh, wow.
Well, good for her.
Yeah. And she used one for two.
Oh.
Or two for the price of one, if you, yeah.
Oh.
That couldn't have been very comfortable.
I can't imagine that it was, but that's what she did.
Yeah. What you got, Heidi?
Oh, I'm just throwing more lore in there. Bustle magazine online had this really funny five myths about breasts from forever ago, folklore. And one is that the mythical Amazon warrior women cut off one or both of their breasts to be better archers.
Oh.
Interestingly, the word Amazon... A means without, and mesos, breasts. The Greeks believed mythical Amazons would literally cut off their right breasts as a way to make themselves better archers. Not true. Just
I thought the nuns did that when I was a kid.
Oh, God.
You were told they did?
No, I just thought they did. I looked at them and their habits, and they didn't have breasts that I could see.
Well, they probably tried to flatten them.
Bind them. Yeah. Number two, masturbation causes flat breasts. In the Victorian era, this was believed, quote, girls who have followed masturbating habits show usually strong indications of it in their failure of glandular development. Such persons are apt to be flat-breasted, or as we term it, flat-chested. Next myth, breasts protect female hearts and serve as armor during fights. This was something that was circulated in the 1300s. And in 1840, another physician made some of his own ridiculous, incredibly offensive claims about breasts and their purposes. Cooper said that breasts help women of the lower class to bear very severe blows, which they often received in their drunken pugilistic contests. How sexist and classist can you
really
get?
Really? Support for domestic violence.
Yeah.
No doubt. And then in the late 1400s, it was believed that three nipples equaled which... I won't get deeper.
Equaled
witch. You're a witch if you have three nipples. And it could be a mole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A birthmark. That's the third one right there. You're a witch.
You're a witch.
You're going down. And the fifth most ridiculous in this grouping is that ancient Egyptians believed menstrual blood could perk up your boobs. Anyone's menstrual blood on your boobs would help perk them up. So it says, according to Ebers Papyrus, which managed to survive ancient Egypt, contains a treasure trove of the era's medical advice. Smearing menstrual blood all over your boobs was supposed to perk them up.
That's right up there with eating your placenta.
Totally.
Thank God.
Yuck.
Oh, you know, it's been done. I want to hearken back to one of our previous shows.
Okay.
Because we talked about the term badass.
Oh, yeah. I want to talk more
about its origins
that.
From slavery.
Go on.
I have been listening to Shonda Rhimes' book, The Year of Yes. This mm-hmm. woman is an inspiration.
Awesome.
And she is a black woman of tremendous success.
Right. She's fabulous.
And she uses the term badass for women. Plus, she coined the term for women who are practicing their strength.
Uh-huh.
It's badassery.
Badassery. Yeah.
So I say, all you women out there.
Yeah.
Tits up. Go for badassery.
I like it.
Okay,
so
then.
So we have two thumbs up, two nips up on badassery. Is that correct? Two tits up. Oh wait, that's on the FCC list. We're not going to use that word. Sorry.
I think we've already used it a couple
nips
of times.
Up. Oops. I did it again.
Yeah, well, we won't.
I feel like I need a cigarette. Yeah. I don't even smoke. What's happening over here?
You know, I would like to circle back a little bit.
Please do.
To my story about mastectomy.
Yeah.
Because one thing I forgot to say is I'm grateful for my boobs.
Good.
Because they saved my life. They took the cancer out of my body. And that's how I started to think about it was,
yes.
You know, I could have had stomach cancer. I could have had brain cancer. I could have had all these other things. And I had breast cancer and it was a horrible thing to go through.
Yeah.
But in the scope of what's horrible in this world, I'm alive. I'm happy. I'm healthy. And my breasts took my cancer away. So,
yeah. Hells yes. And while you had them, you had a lot of fun with them.
Oh, I did have a lot of fun with them. Now, we're not going to talk about those stories.
Why not?
Yeah.
Tell me everything.
All right. I'll tell you one story. No, I can't.
What?
No, I just can't.
Really?
No, I can't.
Is it too incriminating? Is the island
it's too incriminating.
Damn it.
It didn't happen on the island, but I can say that much.
Oh, phooey.
Yeah.
We almost had her, you guys.
We did, you know, and I started thinking about stories that have gone kind of like in meditation when you see a video of your life go by that I've rejected. But I will say menopause caused me to have breasts that I'd never had before. I always had teeny little ballerina breasts. And then suddenly menopause gave me these boobs.
Whoa, Nelly.
And I decided, okay, well, for the first time in my life, I'm going to wear low-cut things.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you might as
having
well.
Having fun with breasts.
You might as well.
Yeah.
You know, I'm starting that.
I'm still looking for a swimming suit.
Oh, okay,
that
yes.
That will fit a woman with no breasts. Okay. I don't know.
Most seems like that wouldn't be that hard, but...
Well, I don't have a swimming suit. I don't swim, and I'm going to start.
Yay.
So that's the biggest problem, I think, with not having boobs.
Somebody's got to be creating a line for women who've had mastectomies, and if they haven't, it's time.
There's a look.
Yeah.
And audience, if you know
if
of
you
anything,
know, yes,
we want to know.
Because I look, but maybe I'm not searching right. I don't know. I can't find anything. So, I mean, there's stuff. There's stuff that might do that to make do.
Right.
But I don't want to put fake boobs in my swimming
suit.
No,
I want you to have a suit that feels right and is against you. And plus, that creates drag. As a swimmer, I'm being totally honest. Like, you want a suit you can actually swim in.
Yeah.
So email us if you know of one.
Yeah.
It's theclatch@voiceofvashon.org. We definitely want to hear from you.
Yes, we do.
That's important stuff.
And for those of you who have emailed, thank you, thank you. And we've missed answering a couple of them, and we're going to get right on that and be back with you shortly.
Sorry.
So, yeah, somebody else was supposed to do it. And then somebody else was supposed to do it.
What happened to our secretary?
The dog peed on my homework.
I thought you said the dog peed on the secretary.
Yeah, well, no, I hope not. That's another show.
We super appreciate, we have another minute and then we have to go. But
it's been great. Thank you.
So
thank
great.
You for listening. And we will be back in 2 weeks.
It's true.
And we will announce what our topic will be because we don't know what it is
yet. Because we don't know yet.
Send us suggestions.
Send us suggestions. What
the Clatch at voiceofvashon.org.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be all about women's stuff all
no,
the time.
No, it doesn't. No, in fact, we're going to switch gears,
I want to talk about dongs. Just kidding.
Does that mean we have to invite
guests?
I'm
sorry, you guys. I don't mean that. I'm just being silly. We should. And I appreciate Anne Spire's beautiful, cool, provocative poem. That was awesome.
Very nice.
Well, I was right there in the room.
Yeah.
You know, with the detail that was in there, I could see it all. It was great. It was
check
really
out
fun.
Her book. Do we remember the title of her book?
No. I don't.
And Spires, S-P-I-E-R-S.
And I bet you can get it at the Vashon Bookshop.
I know. Oh, you know, she wrote a book. She co-authored the Portland Parks book.
You're listening to KVSH LP Vashon. This is The Clutch. Thank you so much for tuning in. And we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Bye.